Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Indian Family Law Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 16, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Adoptive Couple v. Baby Girl. The case involves the Indian Child Welfare Act, or IWCA, of 1978, and considers the following. First, whether a biological father who initially renounced custodial rights over his daughter can invoke the ICWA to block her adoption by a non-Indian couple. And second, whether the ICWA's definition of parent includes an unwed biological father who has not followed state rules for obtaining legal status as a parent. To discuss the case, we have Tom Getty, the Commissioner on the Indian Law and Order Commission and of counsel at Bigham McCrutchen LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty. In litigation, there is probably no more emotionally charged case than that involving the removal of a child from its adoptive parents. So it is especially interesting, if not rare, when a case reaches the U.S. Supreme Court, as it did in Adoptive Couple versus Baby Girl, argued before the court on April 16, 2013. As happens with cases of these sorts, emotions run high. The matter is aired on Dr. Phil, with the audience vigorously clapping for the side it thinks is right. Parenthood and best interests of the child are discussed with religious fervor, and expectations are raised. But the court will no doubt settle on a course less surprising and more predictable than what the headlines expose. Indeed, those following federal Indian law wondered whether this would be the case in which the court would re-examine Morton versus Mankari on the political nature of classifications for Indians and tribes, or would overturn fundamental aspects of the Indian Child Welfare Act or the existing family doctrine. Based on the oral argument, none of that seems likely. While normally the subject of domestic relations of family members, parents, and children falls within the domain of the states, Congress provided an important exception in the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, in 1978 to remedy what was the high percentage of Indian families broken up by the removal of their children from them by non-tribal public and private agencies. ICWA established minimum federal standards for the removal of Indian children. The case presents interesting questions of federalism, statutory construction, and federal Indian law. On review before the court on April 16th was the decision of the South Carolina Supreme Court upholding a family court's determination to remove a two-year-old child from its adoptive parents, who held the child since its birth in Oklahoma. The state court held in favor of the father, an enrolled member of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, who had earlier relinquished his rights to the child to his non-Indian fiancé. Because the mother's attorney had provided the wrong information on the father, and the mother signed a form indicating the child was Hispanic, Oklahoma authorities and the Cherokee Nation did not find ICWA's provisions applicable to this baby, and the baby was moved to South Carolina to the adoptive couple. When the father learned that the child had been adopted out, by virtue of being served with a required adoption complaint, he sought to stay the adoption proceedings in South Carolina. Meanwhile, the Cherokee Nation learned of the adoption and intervened in the proceedings pursuant to ICWA. The family court there eventually denied the adoption petition and transferred custody to the father, not then the custodial parent, reasoning in part that ICWA's parental termination provision, Title 25 United States Code Section 1912 F, applied to block the adoption. That provision, in part, allows, quote, continued custody, close quote, by an Indian parent of an Indian child unless it is likely to result in serious emotional or physical damage to the child. Whether this is a terribly complicated case or a relatively simple one is the subject of debate, but without question, it brought out a flurry of amicus briefs from family law centers, Indian tribal judges and law professors, and constitutional scholars. The question presented by the petitioners was twofold. One, whether a non-custodial parent can invoke ICWA to block an adoption voluntarily and lawfully initiated by a non-Indian parent under state law. And two, whether ICWA defines an Indian parent to include an unwed biological father who has not complied with state law rules to attain legal status as a parent. The father characterized the questions as one, whether ICWA governs state proceedings to determine the custody of a minor who all parties concede to be an Indian child within the meaning of the act, and two, whether a father who otherwise satisfies state law requirements to establish paternity qualifies as a parent under ICWA. By the time the matter was argued in the Supreme Court, the prospect that some of the tough constitutional and foundational questions relating to ICWA faded, and it appears more likely that the case will focus on more traditional questions of statutory construction, leaving ICWA intact. Early in the oral argument, Justice Scalia pointed to the express text of ICWA, Section 1912D, as to whether certain steps had been taken to prevent the breakup of the Indian family. When counsel for the adoptive couple argued how this worked under state law, Justice Scalia retorted, quote, "This isn't state law. This is a federal statute which uses an expansive phrase, the breakup of the Indian family," close quote. He noted the adoptive couple's counsel's assumption here was that the phrase in the statute, quote, "to prevent the breakup of the Indian family," close quote, only applies where the father has custody. Justice Scalia, quote, I don't know why that should be true," close quote. Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg also pointed to the plain text of ICWA. Justice Ginsburg, quote, "It says a parent means a biological parent of an Indian child, and he fits that definition. And then the next section, the next sentence, doesn't have any reference to state law," close quote. Even Justice Kagan held counsel to task, quote, "I think you're not answering the question of what's the point of labeling him a parent if he gets none of the protections that the Act provides to a parent," close quote. Counsel for the adoptive couple tried to reconcile the statutory sections with the facts, arguing that Congress did not have these facts in mind when it passed the Act, a law designed to, quote, "halt the depletion of the tribal population," close quote. She argued, quote, "This involves accretion and conscripting other people's children to grow the tribal population based solely on a biological link," close quote. Considerable argument might be had on that fairly contentious point, as the history of ICWA, pointed out by many scholars appearing as amici, very much goes to halting the destruction of tribal communities occurring through the adoption out of Indian children. Argument was also presented by former Solicitor General Paul Clement for the Guardian Ad Litem for the Child, urging reversal of the South Carolina Supreme Court and allowing the child to continue with the adoptive couple. Mr. Clement quickly got to the nub of the problem in the case. The lower court applied two sections of ICWA, 1912B and F, designed for a situation contemplating transferring custody away from an existing custodial relationship, not to create a transfer to somebody with new custody. He argued the statutory text and ICWA's purposes established that Congress did not intend ICWA to thwart the child's adoption and that there is no pre-existing custody to continue. Sections 1912D and F cannot govern. Those sections, Mr. Clement argued in his brief, go to the avoiding of the breaking up of the Indian family. They are not designed, he argued, quote, "to create parental rights for unwed fathers out of whole cloth where none would otherwise exist," close quote. He urged the court to interpret the word parent to mean something more than bare paternity. Counsel for the father framed the question as, quote, "could the parental rights of this parent be terminated?" close quote. Not whether the best interests of the child standard should be applied. He rested his analysis on the view that child custody proceeding in ICWA includes a proceeding leading to the termination of parental rights, and that the ICWA sections at issue relate to a child custody proceeding. Chief Justice Roberts countered with, quote, "but the section doesn't say child custody proceeding. It says," quote, "continued custody of the child," close quote. Both Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Breyer brought up hypothetical questions relating to the Indian blood requirement for tribal membership or the status of the child. Counsel answered there's a federal element to the recognition of an Indian tribe, and this is left to the political branches. The United States Solicitor General appeared amicus in this case, arguing that the South Carolina Supreme Court was correct in finding that because the relevant remedial provisions of ICWA were not followed, the court could not terminate the father as an Indian parent. The Solicitor General also argued that Section 1912F relating to continued custody was incorrectly applied in this case, as there was no continuing custody involved. However, the SG concluded ICWA still applied and the father's parental rights could not be terminated. Court watchers often look to Justice Kennedy to see which way he might go whenever the other justices seem split on a question. It may not be, however, that they are also split on the question. They all seem to struggle with the inelegance of the statutory text as applied to the facts of this case, but that does not dictate the outcome, it seems. Justice Kennedy sounded concerned that the best interests of the child standard used in state courts would be supplanted by the federal ICWA standard as to what is required to terminate a parental right. When counsel for the father appeared to agree with Justice Kennedy, Justice Scalia chimed in, "Wait, why would you concede that point?" Justice Scalia: "I mean, your client has been deprived of parental rights. I don't know that it is traditional to decide whether a parent will be deprived of parental rights by assessing what is in the best interest of the child," close quote. Predictions are of little value in this field, but it seems Justice Scalia is confident in his view, and that assuming he convinces the other justices, the court may uphold South Carolina Supreme Court, not rewrite ICWA in any appreciable manner, and not gut the act in any case. The decision will appear in June.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.